You know what was on the jukebox in the front. Now Matt the Cat's gonna show you what was on the juke in the back.
With the flippity flop, and you know you can't stop when the needle drop, taking you from the bottom to the top. With racks and stacks of hot shellacks, making you jump back, Jack, have a heart attack on the juke in the back. Ooh, man, that's a fact. I'm Matt the Cat, your jukebox operator, welcoming you back to another program looking at the soul that came before rock and roll, 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues. And for the last 11 weeks, we've dedicated these programs to looking at the most important and influential rhythm and blues record label of the post-World War II era, Atlantic Records. And it's been a fun time looking at Atlantic's singles releases from 1947 through about mid-1957. That's where we are now, in part 12. We're at the end of 1956. We're going to go into 1957 this week and wrap up the series on the parent label, Atlantic. Next week in part 13, we'll take a look at Atlantic's subsidiary label, ATCO Records, which was run by Atlantic co-founder Herb Abramson. Then in part 14, the final part of this series, we'll take a look at Cat Records, their first subsidiary from 1954. I mentioned in last week's program that as rock and roll was hitting the mainstream in 1956, the sound of Atlantic Records was becoming less gritty rhythm and blues and a little more polished pop R&B. We listen to these records now and some of them sound a little bit too poppy with the added choruses and some of the musical arrangements. But at the time, it was working really well for Atlantic because the label was starting to score hits on the pop charts. And of course, hits on the pop charts mean bigger sales and more money coming in. So many of the records on this week's program actually cross over to the pop charts, making them some of the biggest hits in Atlantic's entire run. Let's kick off this week's program, part 12 of the Atlantic Records story, with Atlantic record number 1112. It belongs to Chuck Willis, who had already scored some major hits for OK Records in the early 1950s, like My Story, which went to number 2. But the biggest record of his career would come in 1957, and we'll hear it later on in the program. Right now, we're going to hear a record from November of 1956, written by bandleader Jesse Stone and performed with the Jesse Stone Orchestra. Recorded on August 30th of 56. It's the flip side of Juanita, a number 11 record from the end of the year. Here's Chuck Willis asking you that musical question, what you gonna do when your baby leaves you?
Now tell me, boys, I want you to tell me, what you gonna do when your baby leave you? What you gonna do? What you gonna do when your baby leave you? Tell me what you gonna do. When she says her last goodbye, I bet you're gonna sit right down and cry. What you gonna do when your baby leave you? What you gonna do? You come home early in the morning. You think everybody is asleep. She's been sitting there with her eyes wide open, tears running down her cheeks. Now tell me, boy, I want you to tell me. Thank you. told me late one Saturday night. She said you ought to be home with the one who loves you. You know that girl treats you right. And then my mother said, son, you know I'm your mother. I wouldn't tell you nothing wrong, but I want you to tell me what you're gonna do when your baby leave you. What you're gonna do? What you're gonna do when your baby leave you? Tell me what you're gonna do. When she say, I don't want you no more, you sit there crying, baby, please don't go. What you gonna do when your baby leave you? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? Jim Danny to the rescue. Jim Danny to the rescue. Jim Danny to the rescue. Go, Jim Danny. Go, Jim Danny. Jim Danny on a mountain top. 30,000 feet to drop. Spot a lady on a runaway horse. Aha, that's right, of course. Jim Danny to the rescue. Go, Jim Danny. Go, Jim Danny. She was feeling a kind of blue. Jim Danny, he's the kind of guy. Never liked to see a little girl cry. Jim Danny to the rescue. Go, Jim Danny. Go, Jim Danny. Jim Danny to the rescue. Jim Danny to the rescue. Jim Danny to the rescue. Go, Jim Danny. Go! Jim Danny in a submarine got a message from a mermaid queen. She was hanging from a fishing line. Jim Danny didn't waste no time. Jim Danny to the rescue. Go, Jim Danny. Go, Jim Danny. Jim Danny wanted to go to Maine. Got a ticket on a DC.
A mover, a shaker, and a real earthquaker. Talking about Laverne Baker and the biggest hit of her career, Jim Dandy. A song recorded on the 21st of December, 1955. Almost a full year before it was issued by Atlantic Records. It entered the Rhythm and Blues charts in mid-December of 1956 and hit number one on March 9th, 1957, where it remained for 1 week. The bigger news, though, is that it crossed over to number 17 on the pop charts. White kids and black kids were buying this record, making it a true rock and roll record. It was so big, in fact, that it spawned a sequel, Jim Dandy Got Married, a couple of months later. Laverne Baker and Atlantic Records were hotter than hot right now as rock and roll was hitting the mainstream. And speaking of hot, this next cat could do no wrong, Clyde McFadden. This was a big crossover hit in early 1957. Without Love, There Is Nothing, a nice gospel-tinged tune. Recorded on October 10th of 56, it made the charts in January of 57, hitting number 4 on the rhythm and blues lists and a whopping number 19 pop. After stints with Billy Ward and the Dominoes and the Drifters, Clyde McFadden shows no signs of slowing down. Here's Without Love, There Is Nothing on The Juke in the Back and Atlantic Records Part 12.
I awaken this morning, I was filled with despair. All my dreams turned to ashes and gold. As I look at my life, it was barren and bare. Without love, I had nothing at all. Who loved only me. There was nothing that she would not give. I was blind to her goodness, and I could not see that a heart without love not live. Without love, I had nothing. Without love, I had nothing at all. Yes, I conquered the world, but what did I have without love?
Joe Turner laying down the sound that's all around with a traditional folk number made popular by Lead Belly in the 1930s. But on the label, it gives Jerry Wexler and Ahmet Erdogan credit for writing it. They did change some of the lyrics around, but that's a stretch to say that they wrote that tune. But man, it's all about the publishing. The money is in the publishing. Paul Evans and Johnny Rivers would have hits with the tune in the 1960s. And of course, CCR did a real memorable version of that as well. I'm Matt the Cat, and you're digging the Juke in the Back and the soul that came before rock and roll as we honor Atlantic Records. This is part 12, the end of 1956 and 57. Up next, the Drifters return with a tune written by Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, who were staff songwriters and producers at this time at Atlantic Records. This one was recorded on November 8th of 56, featuring Johnny Moore on lead vocal. It charted in March of 57, hitting number 10 R&B and crossing over to number 69 pop. Here are the Drifters with a bouncy little tune called Fools Fall in Love.
Well, fools fall in love in a hurry. Fools give their hearts much too soon. Just play them two bars of stardust. Just hang out one silly moon. Should be playing it cool. I used to laugh, but now I understand. Shake the hand of a brand new fool. Well, fools fall in love just like schoolgirls, blinded by rose-colored dreams. They build their castles on wishes with only rainbows for beams. Oh, oh, they're making plans for the future when they should be right back in school. I used to laugh, but now
generous support for Juke in the Back provided by weekly sustainers Janice Stenhouse, Robert Stallworth, Barry from San Diego, Mr. Lee, David Ayers, Thomas Huber, Joe Metzger, Bernie Rossman, Barry from Riverside, Arnold and Linda Rosenberg, Charles Liebman, Ken Farger, Gail Kuntz, Mark and Marion McAlpine, Glenn Dicker, Michael Carter, and contributors Maureen Russell, Gary Cipollone, Michael Carey. Thank you for your support. More information at jukeintheback.org.
Hey, Mavicat, keep those records spinning.
Now, baby, when you sigh,
when you sigh,
I want to sigh with you. When you cry,
when you cry,
I want to cry some too. Now, ain't that love?
Ain't that love?
Oh, ain't that love, baby, that I feel in my heart. Now when you walk,
when you walk,
I wanna walk with you. When you talk,
when you talk,
wanna talk some too. Now ain't that love?
Ain't that love?
Oh,
ain't
that love that I feel in my heart? If you ever, need a friend, I'll be with you.
Be with you.
Yes, until the end. Now ain't that love?
Ain't that love?
Ain't that love?
Ain't that love?
Don't you know?
Oh.
Troubadour of Rhythm and Blues, Brother Ray Charles, and Ain't That Love, a tune he wrote, and man, does that have a nice call-and-response gospel feel. You know, as many artists on Atlantic Records were getting smoother and more poppy, Ray just keeps getting more soulful. David Fathead Newman did a tasty tenor sax break on that tune, which was recorded on November 12th of 56. It hit number 9 in February of 1957. Ray hadn't had any crossover success, but that was going to change in 1957, and we'll hear that later on in the program. I'm at the Cat Where It's At, your jukebox operator and furry leader, presenting part 12 of the Atlantic Records story, the end of 56 into 1957. And this next tune, Lucky Lips, is a Lieber and Stoller composition. Ms. Rhythm Ruth Brown recorded it on September 25th of 56. By April of 57, it was number 6 R&B and number 25 pop. This was her introduction to the pop charts. She would have 6 more records chart pop up through 1962. But right now, she's going to sing a bouncy little number to your cats and kittens called Lucky Lips. Here's Ruth Brown on the Juke in the Back.
Little girl with long and silky curls. My mama told me, honey, you've got more than other girls. Now you may not be good looking, but you soon wear diamond clips, and you'll never have to worry, 'cause you've got lucky lips. Lucky lips are always kissing. Lucky lips are never blue. Lucky lips will
I never the tables while she's gone. Being in a crowd only makes me long. Baby, get some victuals and come on home, 'cause I'm a hungry man. Well, I'm a hungry man. Yes, I'd like to spread my tables with cotton and silk, eat a whole cake of cornbread and clabbered milk. My knife is sharp and my fork is calling, stomach is growling too. Ain't no use of serving that ham or bacon, I can't eat a thing till I find you. I'm a hungry man, oh, I'm a hungry man. Yes, I'd like to spread my table with cotton and silk, eat a whole cake of cornbread and clabbered milk. Last night I went to the cupboard to try to find a morning snack. Misery there. I'm a hungry man. Yes, I'm a hungry man. Yes, I'd like to spread my table with cotton and silk, eat a whole cake of cornbread and some clabbered milk. I'm a hungry man. Oh, yes, I'm a hungry man.
Titus Turner with his only single for Atlantic Records, Hungry Man, released in early 1957. Now, Titus was another one of those hard luck rhythm and blues stories. He recorded some great material for Regal, OK, Wing, and King, but just couldn't score a hit. Actually, the only charting hit of his career came in 1959 for King Records with Return of Stagger Lee. When looking back at Titus Turner's career today, I think he's most remembered for recording the original version of All Around the World for Wing Records. That would, of course, be the first hit for Little Willie John. But that's one of the cool things about doing such an in-depth series on a record label like Atlantic. You find these one-off single releases, like that one from Titus Turner. And I hope you're enjoying this week's show, part 12 of the Atlantic Records story, here on the Juke in the Back, your source for 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues. Up next is another big record by a cat who was really getting used to having big records, Ivory Joe Hunter. He wrote this tune, and it has kind of a country feel to it, called Empty Arms. It hit number 2 on the Rhythm and Blues Airplay chart, number 5 on the Jukebox chart, and number 10 on the Sales chart in April of 57. It crossed over to number 43 pop, and was also a big hit for pop singer Teresa Brewer as well, which must have made Ivory Joe Hunter very happy, because he was the writer of the tune, so he got the publishing off of Teresa Brewer's hit version. Here's Ivory Joe Hunter with Empty Arms.
To them someday. each lonely night I go to bed. I hug the pillow where you used to rest your head.
Chuck Willis with the biggest hit of his successful career, and C.C. Rider, a traditional song that dates way back, but Ma Rainey made it popular in 1924, but somehow Chuck Willis gets songwriting credit for it. Like I said at the top of the show, if there's one thing you take away from this week's program, it's the money is in publishing. Willis recorded that on the last day of January, 1957. In a little over a year, he would die of peritonitis on April 10th, 1958, at the age of 32. What a loss. A song ironically called What Am I Living For was released posthumously. It was a big hit, but not as big as C.C. Rider, which hit number one on the rhythm and blues lists on June 17th, 1957, for 2 weeks. It crossed over to number 12 pop. What Am I Living For was issued just after his death in 1958, also topping the rhythm and blues charts and hitting number 9 pop. It sold 1 million copies. Tempo-wise, CC Rider was also a great record to do the stroll to. It features Gene Barge and Sam the Man Taylor, both on tenor saxes. The orchestra is conducted by Jesse Stone. Up next is another one-off record for Atlantic, this time by a once enormously popular vocal group that had seemingly come on to tough times, the Penguins. Late 1954, early 1955, you couldn't turn on a radio without hearing Earth Angel. That was issued on Los Angeles-based Dutone Records, owned by Dootsy Williams. The Penguins were managed by Buck Ram, who took them over to Mercury for a big record deal. But nothing happened. They released a lot of great records on Dutone and Mercury, but were not able to repeat the success of Earth Angel. They didn't even make the charts with any of those other singles, until their one-off single with Atlantic, Pledge of Love. It was their second and final charting record, hitting number 15 on the R&B lists in May of 57. If you look at the pop chart, the Penguins were a one-hit wonder, but on the R&B lists, they were a two-hit wonder. Here's their second hit on the Juke in the Back and the Atlantic Record Story Part 12, Pledge of Love. It's time for the Great 78, where we take a thick piece of shellac and harken back to a time when 78 RPM records were king. This week we're featuring Atlantic Records, and at the top of the show I played What You Gonna Do When Your Baby Leaves You from Chuck Willis, and right now we're gonna flip it over for Juanita, recorded on August 30th, 1956, and featuring the Cookies backing him up. It was written by Willis and bandleader Jesse Stone, and it went to number 7 in November of 56. Here's this week's Great 78, Chuck Willis with Juanita.
I'm walking in
see your love is no longer here with me. Still I keep calling,
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 calling your name. Juanita.
You're listening to The Juke in the Back with Matt the Cat.
I wanna know, do you love me? Tell me, do you care? Will you let me hold you, baby? Take you anywhere? Tell me, will you let me be? Let me be your friend? Will you let me hold you until then? Yeah, don't you know, baby, that the truth is the lie? Ask yourself, dear, if you're doing me right. 'Cause I wanna love you, oh, but not just to let you sit. Sit and hold my hand, baby, just hold my hand. Now I wanna love you, just to let you sit and hold my hand, baby, just hold my hand. When I first met you, we took a long, long walk. Baby, we had a long, long talk. I told you how I wanted you and all the things I'd do if you'd only prove that you love me too. Yeah, I wanna tell you how it thrills me to call your name. If we don't make it, you've got yourself to blame. 'Cause I'm gonna love you, oh, but not just to let you sit. Sit and hold my hand. Sit and hold my hand.
Just to hold my hand. Clyde McFadder with the Ray Ellis Orchestra to give it that pop sound. Recorded February 13th, 1957. Released in May, where it hit number 6 on the rhythm and blues lists and crossed over to number 26, pop. In less than 2 months, McFadder would be back with another number 1 smash. I'm Matt the Cat, your furry leader, and you're digging on The Juke in the Back, featuring part 12 of the Atlantic Records story, with just a couple of tunes away from wrapping up 1957, and the Juke in the Back feature on the parent label, Atlantic Records. Over the next 2 weeks, we'll take a look at Atlantic's subsidiary labels. Atco, and Cat Records. Atlantic had 5 number one records in the year 1957, and Atco Records had 1. Let's hear another Atlantic number one from a one-hit wonder girl group from Harlem, New York, the Bobettes. Emma Pout on tenor vocals, and Janie Pout singing soprano, Helen Gaither singing alto, Laura Webb tenor, and Reatha Dixon singing lead baritone. Recorded in New York on the last day of February, 1957. It was supposedly written about their fifth grade teacher. And on September 30th of 57, Mr. Lee hit number one for 4 weeks on the rhythm and blues chart and crossed over to a whopping number 6 pop. 1, 2, 3, baby. Here comes Mr. Lee, the Bobettes, on the Juke in the Back.
1, 2, 3, hey. Look at Mr. Lee. 3, 4, 5, hey. Look at him jive. Mr. Lee, Mr. Lee. Hop, Mr. Lee, Mr. Lee, Mr. Lee. Hop, Mr. Lee, Mr. Lee, Mr. Lee. Hop, Mr. Lee, Mr. Lee. I've met my sweetie.
Since you've been gone, please.
Clyde McFadder with the second to last number one record of his entire career, Long Lonely Nights, written by Lee Andrews and originally recorded by Lee Andrews and the Hearts. What I find interesting is that Lee Andrews' version actually did better on the pop charts by just a couple of positions, hitting number 45, whereas Clyde McFadder's stalled at number 49. However, on the R&B lists, Clyde did much better, hitting number one on September 16th for 1 week, whereas Lee Andrews stalled at number 11. It's a beautiful song no matter who's singing it. Long Lonely Nights. I'm Matt the Cat, and that wraps up 1957 and part 12 of Atlantic Records. And what more can I say about the label? It's still in existence today as part of the Warner Music Group, but lacks any type of sound signature that Atlantic definitely had during its first decade. Where we are right now in 1957, we are seeing that Atlantic is venturing into the pop field. They would continue to do so. They would, of course, stay with soul music as well. They'd venture into hard rock with Led Zeppelin, folk rock with the Buffalo Springfield, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, progressive rock with Yes. But what we've heard over the past 12 weeks is the foundation, the building of a major record label out of an independent rhythm and blues record label. Co-founder Ahmet Ertegun would remain with the label in one form or another up until his death on December 14th, 2006. And remember, we're taking the series into part 13 next week with Atlantic's subsidiary label, ATCO, and then part 14 with Cat Records. So we're not quite done yet. Remember, cats and kittens, until next time, soul, it's a feeling, and you'll get that feeling each week when you tune into your source for 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues. We're going to end this week's show with one of Atlantic's greatest acquisitions, Ray Charles. He would remain with the label until 1960, when he was lured away by ABC Paramount Records. I think this is a very poignant place to stop in 1957. It's Ray's interpretation of Stephen Foster's 1851 song, Old Folks at Home, better known as Swanee River. I say poignant because Stephen Foster's original lyrics to this tune involve a slave longing for that old plantation, a sentiment that no African American would have written in 1851. The racist term darkies is also used in Foster's original. What Ray does in his Swanee River rock, a little over 100 years later, is he claims this Stephen Foster song for soul. He takes it to the black church, and Ray and the Cookies have a fantastic call and response on Swanee River Rock, talking about the river. Recorded on March 26th, 1957, it hit number 14 in November. And what's really amazing about this record is that it's Ray Charles's first time crossing over into the pop charts, making this interpretation of the old Stephen Foster tune even more triumphant as it hit number 34 pop. Let's close down part 12 of Atlantic Records with Brother Ray Charles, the blind troubadour of rhythm and blues, with Mongo Santa Maria on congas and Swanee River Rock talking about the river. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll catch you on the flip side. Bye-bye.
Do you know way down, upon the Swanee,
Swanee,
talking about the river,
river.
Yeah, you know so far,
so far,
so far away,
so far, oh, away.
Yeah. Do you know
that's where
my heart is a-turning,
oh, ever,
and that's where the old folks stay,
the old folks stay.
Sad and lonely. because I'm so far,
so far.
I'm far from my folks back home. So far from my folks back home, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm far from my folks back home, yeah.
Yeah.
So far from my folks back home, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, far from my folks back home, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've run out of whiskey and the women have all gone home. Thanks for dropping by. Feel free to let Matt the Cat know if you dug the show. Email him at mattthecat@mattthecat.com. Juke in the Back is recorded at Rosie's Juke Joint, located at the Stepping Stone Inn in Salem, Massachusetts. For more information, please visit jukeintheback.org. I'm Miss Rosie. See you next time on the Juke in the Back.